The Rainbow Connection. What's it all about? In Hindu mythology, the rainbow is the god Indra's war bow, laid aside by him after he battled and vanquished the demons. So they have a story about the rainbow. In Scandinavian legend, the rainbow is spoken of as a bridge built by the gods to join heaven and earth. We know scientifically that a rainbow is formed whenever sunshine and rain meet together. How we love it, don't we, when suddenly, during a rainstorm or just after, we view the sun breaking through dark clouds. And then suddenly, miraculously, that beautiful arc of many colors appears in the sky, as if attempting to join earth and sky. The rainbow appears in the sky, and it's beautiful. And we wonder, don't we, where does that rainbow begin and where does it end? And wondering, you know, you have to wonder about the Irish legend and the myth that tells us there's a pot of gold hidden at the end of each rainbow by those mischievous little leprechauns or Irish fairies. That's the Irish story. So many wonderful, imaginative tales invented by us humans to explain nature's phenomena and God's mysterious creation, this fascinating world we live in. I think the thing that fascinated me most was learning that white light is composed of and can be broken down into all those fabulous colors of the rainbow. They're hidden in white light. God's world, God's creation is truly amazing, isn't it? And today we read God's amazing reason why rainbows exist in a truly amazing Bible tale about a man called Noah, who heard from God one day to begin doing something that never had been done before, because God was going to do something that God had never done before. God was going to rain out evil, because just 10 generations after Adam, the Bible tells us the world had gotten so evil, so violent, God decided to do something about it by opening up all the water sources for the great flood. But prior to that, he had a project that possibly only one faithful man could undertake for God, to build an ark, a huge floating ship to save as many animals and humans from the floodwaters, which would be so great that even the mountaintops would be covered. Can you imagine? God was planning to drown out evil. But this was not an easy or a quick project that God had in mind. Number one, it had never rained before in Noah's day, but rather, the ground was watered by a mist that rose up from the springs in the ground. Two, the ark was a huge project. It measured 450 feet in length by 75 by 45 feet. It was about a football field and a half long. It was designed not for sailing, but for floating. The ark took about 120 years to build. So we ask, how could one man do this? Well, Noah was recorded as being 480 years old when God told him to build the ark. And we complain when we start to reach our 60s and 70s, don't we? Aches and pains. But you see, people lived a lot longer back then. Noah ultimately lived to be 950 years old, just outdone by his grandfather Methuselah, who lived to be 969 years old. That's a hard thing for us to comprehend today, isn't it? But science declared in recent years that they have discovered the longevity gene, and that in the future, life will be extended perhaps to 130 years for us. That's something to look forward to for the younger people. God chose Noah for this great shipbuilding project by Noah's example of faithfulness. This is the way Noah is described in chapter 6, verse 9. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. God always chooses people for great tasks who are faithful. Because this was a big project lasting 120 years. And because Noah walked with God and had that intimate relationship and knowledge of God, he was able to see God's project through, even though it had never been done before. That still holds true for today. I am sure that the onlookers of that time wondered, what in the world is Noah up to? You know how any building project, there's always those looking on, right, from what we call them sidewalk supervisors. And there certainly must have been many comments along the way during 120 years. But Noah and his building crew held faithfully to the project that God had assigned to him, probably wondering himself at times, what the heck am I doing here? It's never rained. Doubts and fears and wonderings are normal and natural, folks, as long as faithfulness wins through it all. Now, if you'd like to see a replica of Noah's Ark, apparently there is one located in Williamstown, Kentucky. And I have heard from those who have visited that it is truly spectacular and worth the visit. Now, Noah's mission from God was not only to save himself and his family, but all the animals and the creatures of earth by pairs. What an interesting floating menagerie or zoo that must have been. And Noah did all that God commanded him. God gave Noah specific building instructions and directions in chapter 6 and 7, you can read in Genesis. Then the Bible says in chapter 7, verse 16, and those that entered the ark, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Who closed the door of this great vessel? God did. And then it began to rain for the very first time, and the springs, or the fountains, it says in Scripture, in the earth, burst forth, so that the flood continued 40 days and 40 nights. The floodwaters remained for 150 days as the waters slowly receded, revealing the earth again. And the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat, or what we know today as modern-day Turkey. You know, the ark has never been uncovered, but people have explored for it for many years. In an old encyclopedia, I once found a picture from the late 1800s, possibly early 1900s, of a man seated on a huge crossbeam sticking out of a mountainside in Turkey. And what they believed it was, in the caption it said, they believed this was one of the beams from the ark, uncovered as the glacier receded on Mount Ararat. And there is that picture, and I donated that encyclopedia to Plymouth State, campus ministry. So I have yet to go back, and I'll take a picture of that picture. It was fascinating to me. I've seen a TV program about the Ark, and it showed aerial imagery of Mount Ararat in Turkey, which showed something below the surface of the ice cap, surprisingly large in the shape of the ark. So I guess, though, it's still one of God's many secrets that still await revealing and discovery. So you see, Noah's walk with God, his close connection and relationship with our Heavenly Father, one for him and his family and the creatures of the earth, salvation, life after destruction, a new beginning, a second chance to replenish the earth after God's judgment. Now, scholars debate whether the flood destroyed just the immediate world where Noah lived and the surrounding area, or was it really the entire earth? We don't know. All we know that in pretty much every land and culture today, there are stories passed down and mythologized about a great flood having happened. Pause to ponder. I have even heard that the great flood is the reason that the earth tilted on its axis. Interesting, speculative theories worth researching. But today, the gist of our story in chapter 9 of Genesis is all about the final outcome between God, Noah, humans, animals, and the earth, represented and remembered each time a rainbow appears between heaven and earth. It is our rainbow connection, as so charmingly sung by my favorite Muppet, Kermit the Frog. The rainbow is God's promise to the earth and all that is in the earth, never again to have a flood to destroy everything. God said in verses 12 through 15, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth, that waters never again will become a flood to destroy all flesh." By the way, as the question of whatever happened to the dinosaurs, in verse 10, God only promised this covenant to every animal that came out of the ark. So it is supposed by scholars that the dinosaurs, because of their size, never made it into the ark. Another interesting theory for us to ponder. So the rainbow is God's promise to us and to the earth for our continued sustainability, at least in the event of total water submersion. A new start with God for humans and for the world. So out of death and destruction, God brought life to humans, the earth, and its creatures once more. Noah replaced Adam as progenitor of human life on earth and became one of our forefathers at the age of merely 600 years. Fantastical and miraculous. Yet isn't that the prevailing theme throughout the scriptures, both Old Testament and New? Life after death, a new beginning after devastation. That is God's hallmark. That is how we know that we are God's people. If we share in the rainbow connection, this promise that God made so many centuries ago to one faithful person, someone who walked and talked with God named Noah. We see this theme of death and resurrection to new life repeated in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, who gained life out of the depths and suffering of human death, coming back to show us that, yes, indeed, our God is a God who can be trusted in his promises. And the rainbow connection is just one beautiful example of God's love and mercy, God's forgiveness and reconciliation. What can we today gain from this ancient story of promise? We can be assured that God rewards those who are faithful. And no, we cannot sometimes escape the trials and the tribulations that come upon us in spite of our faithfulness to God. But God is faithful to those who hang in there with him. God promises to take you in and through and eventually out of situations and circumstances that God himself has ordained for you as you continue to walk closely with God. In Numbers 23, it tells us, trust God, for God is faithful. God is not as a human that he should lie. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of a man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? God made it good for humans. He made it good for the animals and the earth and for Noah and his family in Noah's time so long ago. And we know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God has not changed, nor will he. Do you believe this? Trust in this. And every time you see a rainbow, remind yourselves of God's promises, God's faithfulness. God has been and always will be faithful. He is who he said he is, and he has shown us over and over again through history, and especially through his son, Jesus Christ, his faithfulness, his forgiveness, his love, and his mercy. So as we ponder that, let us in turn also be faithful. Let's pray. Gracious God, we are grateful for your word, which encourages us to keep walking and talking with God, that you, God, are faithful. Oh, Lord, even sometimes we walk away, we wander away, but you are still faithful and you still call us to come and walk with you again. We're grateful for the rainbow. May it ever remind us, oh, Lord, of your faithfulness. We thank and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.